The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Stuart Beasley, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. A busy day to look forward to as well, with good racing on the flat from Newbury, Newmarket and Ripon. There's also good jumping from Market Raisin and Cartmel, and we have Haydock and Lingfield in the evening. There's also a big day over in Ireland, the Irish Oaks taking centre stage at the Curragh, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
Not too bad, Mark, how are you?
Good, thanks. Very busy day to look forward to on Saturday. Plenty of good racing across the UK and Ireland.
Yeah, it's busy as last week was. Not so many highlights in terms of your anti-post action, as has been pointed out by some. You always hear two of the big summer highlights last weekend in terms of the handicaps of the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket and the John Smith's Cup at York. And you don't have anything quite like that this time around. But the Super Sprint at Newbury is probably the most valuable prize on offer in the UK, and you've got the Irish Oaks at the Curragh, which looks an absolute cracker as well.
Yep.
Without the Oaks winner, obviously, who heads to the King George, but that, in a manner of speaking, just makes it a more fascinating race.
Yes, we'll start with that news. Tegruder going to the King George instead of the Irish Oaks. I suppose the Irish Oaks probably would have been the easy option, staying against her own age group. She goes into the King George against older horses, and we've seen in the past that doesn't always work out the best. Do you see it as a brave decision or a foolish one?
It's not a foolish decision, no. It's certainly bold. If all Sheik Hamdan wanted to do was ensure that she kept winning races, then the Irish Oaks would be the obvious one. But she'd only end up meeting the fillies who were second and third to her at Epsom, and she'd prove nothing new. I think she deserves her place in King George. She's very impressive indeed at Epsom. You could have called her the winner half a mile from home, really, to be perfectly honest. She won with plenty up her sleeve. And, you know, when you consider that Telescope is an outstanding favourite for the King George, a horse with a slightly checkered record, although he was very impressive in the Hardwick, I think she deserves to take a chance.
Yeah. The betting looks like this. Telescope is the 7-4 market leader. Tegruder now 11-4 second favourite. That's changed since yesterday, so a bit of support from 4-1 for her. Magician is 3s, 6-1 for Eagle Top, who does need to be supplemented. Mukadram is 13-2, and then 10-1 or bigger price as the rest. So the market speaking in favour of Tegruder now. Do you see her having a chance of winning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, she was so impressive in the Oaks.
She was. I mean, it's never easy for the fillies there, but bear in mind, the 3-year-old Wait for Age Alliance in July is, as we see in handicaps, is favourable towards the younger generation. They don't always have the right sort of preparation. Often horses who are campaigned hard as 3-year-olds in the early stages to be aimed at, say, the Guineas or the Derby, as normally the colts we're looking at, often the King George is a little bit too much too soon for them. But she came through the Oaks with flying colours. She didn't have a hard race there either. She seems to be blossoming at the right time. And if you get the right sort of colt or filly as a 3-year-old getting the alliances, and of course she gets the filly's alliance as well, which is also a big help to her, she has to be considered to be a major player in that contest, and I wouldn't be putting anyone off backing her.
Yeah, she's only had the 3 starts and she hasn't really had a test if you look at the winning margins and the manner of her victories, so she's open to any amount of improvement as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do tend to say the sky's the limit quite a lot with horses, and sometimes that's a little bit cliched, but it's very much the case with her. She's very, very talented. She's thoroughly professional, and we were only scratching the surface in the Oaks, and what we saw there was impressive and give her the right to be running in all age group ones, but we don't know how much there is under the bonnet. There could be an awful lot more to come.
It leaves the Irish Oaks a very interesting contest without her. We'll move on to that later on in the podcast. Just one final bit of news to talk about before we move on to Saturday's racing, just because I like Sizing Europe. He's a good old boy, and he's going to remain in training, which is good news.
He is. I mean, this will be I guess different people will take this in different ways. He was retired after going out. He seemed to go out on a high last season.
Yeah.
And everyone was delighted to see him back in form. He's been such a star. He should have won a champion hurdle in a Gold Cup. I was there standing in the middle of the course when he ran in the champion hurdle and was a favourite that day.
Yeah.
When he came cruising to the second last, looking he was going to win by any distance you like, and he ricked his back jumping that hurdle and was actually pulled up afterwards, but travelled the best horse on the day. And if you look back at who finished first and second there, you have to believe that Sizing Europe would have won that fairly easily. He then showed himself a superstar by winning a champion chase and went close in that again. And he's been a wonderful horse, a joy to watch jumping a hurdle or a fence, you know, really athletic. Yeah. Loves to give his obstacles a bit of daylight as well. And the story from Henry de Bromhead is simply that he's on very, very good terms with himself. He's not exactly... I wouldn't say he hasn't taken to retirement, but he seems full of beans, and all they're doing is going to bring him back into training, see if he shows the same spark.
Yeah.
And if he does, then they'll enter him up at Goran Park for a Grade 2, which he won last season. And obviously, if he looks like he's lost that bit of that spark, they'll probably not run him and just retire him anyway. But if the old ability still seems to be there, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. And we shouldn't take it for granted that horses reach a certain age and then decline. And he showed that although he wasn't quite the horse of old last season, all his enthusiasm remained, and a lot of his class as well. So if he still retains that kind of class and they basically keep him at home and run him in Grade 2 and Grade 3 events, he still should be able to win races. So they'll definitely do the right thing by him, and there's no welfare issue there, for example.
No. Henry de Bromhead was quick to say that his welfare will be considered above everything else. If there's an inkling that he's not right, then
yeah,
he'll be retired.
The Potters love their horses as well, so they'll do the right thing by him.
Okay, that's just about that, unless you have anything else on your mind that you want to discuss before we move on to Saturday's racing?
I always could, but I'll try to keep it in check.
Fair enough. We'll move on to Saturday's racing next, and then we'll get Rory's three selections for the day's action.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yes, on to Saturday then. Plenty of good racing on both the flat and over jumps. We're going to focus on the two big races at Market Raisin and the Irish Oaks. But before we get there, we'll just give a quick mention to the Super Sprint, the Weatherby Super Sprint at Newbury, the 350, because plenty of prize money in the pot there. 123 grand nearly to the winner. Valuable prize. Not always the easiest puzzle to solve, these big two-year-old sprints. But do you have any kind of opinion there?
No, I thought although she's got a lot of weight, Tiggy Wig is the class. We know she's a class act, and she's got 9-1 to carry, which is never the easiest. But she doesn't seem to have a bad draw. The draw can be crucial in these races. And I was surprised to see, I don't know what price she is with Hills, but I thought she'd be a shorter price. I'm not sure there is a market on it at the moment, but I saw 5-1 banded around somewhere. And I thought she'd be closer to the 2-1 mark. She was a very good second to Anthem Alexander in the Queen Mary last time out, having won at Sandown before that. She's tough. She's thriving on her racing. She does have to give chunks of weight away to some talented horses, but she's guaranteed to run a race. And although the likes of Bond's Girl was better than she showed last time out for Richard Fahey, I thought she needed an extra furlong, to be honest, whereas Tiggy Wiggy is all speed. And I think you can kick her out of the frame, to be honest. So if she's anything like 4 or 5-1, she's in each way better than nothing.
Okay. The market's not quite on site yet, but they have set up the pages, so they will be probably on site by the time this goes out. So do have a look and see what price Tiggy Wiggy is there then in the Super Sprint. But we're going to focus more on the action at Market Raisin and in the Curra. And the first race that we're going to look at is the 2:55, which is the Summer Hurdle, a listed handicap over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and 16 of them in the lineup here at Rory. And if you just look at the horses that come into this in winning form, you've got about 10 of the field coming into this in fine form. So it's wide open, isn't it?
It is. It's a really, both this and the Plate are very competitive races, as they should be for the money. And plenty of trainers look to lay horses out for these for a while. You do get the classier sort of winter performers who sneak in here, the likes of Montbazon, who we've seen running we last saw him in action in the Swinton. He was third in the county hurdle at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And then you get a few of those who are coming through the ranks through the summer, where the trainers need to find them races they can win so they can get into the handicap for races like this. So you've seen plenty of horses in winning action. Laudatory, Roman Flight, Max Ward, Castle Morris King. Slim Pickens. He's probably the most interesting horse in the race. Uriah Heep's won his last two. All these horses coming here in form, and most of those that we mentioned have picked up wins recently because they were lurking on the handicap marks that were too low to get in. Mm-hmm. As I said, Uriah Heep won only a week ago to get a penalty to run here. Slim Pickens was a maiden until last month when he was picked up by Dr. Richard Newland. He's won both his starts, just a maiden hurdle at Sutherland, then he won a small field novice from De Gooch at Worcester last time out. Yeah. Clearly he's going from strength to strength, seems to have improved again. He was getting better for his old trainer Patrick Prendergast, but Richard Newland seems to have, as he tends to do with his imports, he's improved him again, and he's clearly the... I think he'll be the money horse in the race, Slim Pickens.
Yeah. Do you side with him then, or do you take him on with something at bigger odds?
It'd be interesting to see how it gets priced up. I think you'll see something like 3-1 Slim Pickens. I think no one's going to take a chance on him. Dr. Richard Newland has always had a reputation of being able to lay one out for a handicap. And after landing the Grand National last season, I think most odds compilers think we'll keep on the right side of him. So I think he'll be short enough in the betting. One who will be a bigger price because he was beaten by one of these last time out is a horse called Purple Bay. John Ferguson's won this race before. 5-year-olds have a decent record in it for the fairly obvious reason that improving horses win more handicaps than those who are fully exposed by definition. And Purple Bay is one of the least exposed here. Only had 6 runs over hurdles. Been beaten in the last 4 of those, which means I think he might be a decent price, especially as John Ferguson's got 2 in the race, and this one's ridden by a claimer. Mikey Ennis claims 7 off him. But he was beaten less than 3 lengths by Roman Flight, who reopposes at Stratford last time out. I thought he did nothing wrong there. His jumping was improved, which has been a little bit of an issue in the past, but again, he's got precious little experience, so it's going to get better race by race. And I thought he showed a fair attitude there. He's not always looked a fighter, but I thought he battled well enough when he was passed that day. That looked a fairly strong contest. He's £3 better off with the weights, and if you add Mikey Ennis' £7 claim, and that's a £10 swing.
Yeah.
And for a horse who I would expect to be a big price, I think he'd be a 14-16-1 chance, perhaps. He'll give you a decent run for your money each way.
Okay, so Purple Bay each way. Just see how short Slim Pickens is then, because that's the interesting one in the market. That's the 2.55 at Market Raisin. The 3.30 is their other big race, the Summer Plate, which is a listed handicap chase over 2 miles and, the extended 2 miles and 6 furlongs for 4-year-olds and older. And a similar story here, 15 of them in the lineup, and it's quite hard to rule any of them out confidently, isn't it?
It is, yeah. A lot of these come into the race in very good form. Plenty of them with credentials over track and trip as well. And it's not easy to unpick. You could read through half of them. There are issues with a few of them. Kai, who's the top weight, comes here in good form, but I think he's probably best over slightly shorter, and I think he's also best when dominating a small field. So he's going to find it tougher up in the weights and against in a big field where there'll be others pressing him for the pace. Pansoa is a horse I like, who I've been waiting to see go right-handed to a degree, because he always jumps right-handed when going the other way around.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, he ran badly when tried that way at Wincanton last autumn, and he's run a couple of stinkers recently. He ran a very badly in the Summer Cup at Uttoxeter last time. Even though that trip would have been too far for him, I thought he would have shown a bit more. So he's off my list at the moment. The two I like in the race are Grandad's Horse, who was a good second over course in the distance to Bookham Dano last time out. He was in and out last year, had a very good novice season, started off last year in good style, winning at Wetherby. He then had a very hard race when finishing third at Sandown in his next start. Looked sure to be pulled up at one stage in that race, but Barry Geraghty got every ounce out of him to finish third, and that seemed to bottom him for a while. But he looked better at Market Raisin last time, when second to Bookham Dano, give the impression he was just beginning to bloom again and come back to his best. And I think he'll be ready and spot on for this, so he's got chances. And I've always had a soft spot for Creevy Tennant. Fergal O'Brien trains, Conor Schumacher's on well with him. The key to Creevy Tennant is very simple: he needs to go right-handed. He did win a 100 chase at Cheltenham a couple of seasons ago when I was there, but hung badly right in the closing stages, having looked the best horse in the race. His record going right-handed under rules is 3 runs and 3 wins, and he was very impressive despite almost unseating on the run-in at Perth last time out. I thought it was a good performance beating Colbox, and I think Creevy Tennant deserves to be favourite for this, despite the fact that he's a 10-year-old.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Is Conor Schumacher on board again? Yeah,
he is indeed. Yeah.
He's ridden him 4 times and won 3 times as well. So
yeah, you can't really knock that, can you?
No, exactly. No. Yeah. Okay, then Creevy Tennant, the selection in the summer plate. And to Ireland we go for their big race of the day, the Dali Irish Oaks, a Fillies Group 1 over a mile and a half. It's for the three-year-olds, of course. And we do have betting on site for this as well. And Oaks runner-up, Tarfasha, is 5-2 market leader. Marvellous is 9-2. 5-1 for Bracelet. Volume is also 5-1. 6-1 for Tapestry. 11s for Lustrous. And 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. And before we get stuck into the race, a bit of history to be made on Saturday afternoon as well, with Anna O'Brien riding in the Irish Oaks, the first female rider to ride in the Irish Oaks as well.
Indeed, and it's been a long time since a lady rider rode in an Irish Classic. I think we're digging out that Joanna Morgan, who broke the mould in Ireland as an apprentice in the 70s, rode in the Irish Derby in 1976. But Anna O'Brien becomes the first woman to ride in the Irish Oaks, and she deserves her place as well. I know people will say the horse is owned by her mother, trained by her father. She's a bit of an obvious one to ride it, but she's been a really impressive apprentice this season. I think she's really going to make her mark. There's talk about Aidan being determined to make her into champion apprentice. And although, again, people will say, well, he's got the firepower to do that, I think she's got the talent to do that as well. I think she deserves every chance. So although Beyond Brilliance doesn't have a great chance of winning this, she's generally been running around in handicaps and listed company. It's still a breakthrough for Anna O'Brien to get the ride.
Yeah, and it's good that she stays on board, because she's ridden it the last eight times. Nine times, so it's good that they kept the partnership intact. With regards to the race, then, do you see Tarfasha as the one to beat, given the second behind Tegruder?
Strictly speaking, Tarfasha is the one to beat. The three of these met in the Oaks, with Tarfasha finishing second, Volume third, and Marvellous, who was favourite, finishing back in sixth that day.
Yeah.
There are reasons to expect Marvellous to do better, in that the Oaks came very quickly after she'd won the Irish 1000 Guineas. That was a big step forward for her anyway. And the race, it was obvious they were going to aim her at the Oaks given the improvement she'd shown, but it may have come a little bit too soon for her, so she could do better. For me, although she's by Galileo, I would say she'd be better shorter of a mile and a half as well. She might just turn out to be a mile and a quarter filly, to be perfectly honest. Tarfasha theoretically holds Volume on Epsom Running, but there was very, very little between them. I think there's only, a short head between them at the line?
Yes.
And yeah. I thought Volume, when she was beaten, Richard Hughes was quite easy on her, and she was very tough when she was passed. Clearly, Tegruder travelled like the best filly in the race. When she tackled Volume tried to fight on. She struggled a bit on the camber, hung down a little bit, but I thought she kept on very willingly. And I think if his life depended on finishing second, I think Richard Hughes could have got her across the line in second, but he's just been easy on her when her chance had gone, and she was done on the line by Tarfasha for second. I thought she could turn the tables. I mean, clearly there's very little between them on form anyway. Volume's a 5-1 shot. Tarfasha's a 5-2 shot. I just don't think the prices are right, to be honest.
Yeah, for a nose difference it was.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as long as Volume isn't hassled too much in front, you know, she goes from the front and she's very tough to pass, and that's a pretty good setup for the Curra as well. She clearly stays very well, and she's improving with her racing. So I think she's got a very good chance of reversing Epsom form, which is narrow anyway.
Okay, so would you play Volume each way then at fives, just an each way bet?
Yeah, I think I'd be disappointed if you don't get an each way return on that. The other one who's the same sort of price as her in the market is Bracelet, but I thought the race that she won at Royal Ascot, the Ribblesdale, just isn't nearly as good a race as it ought to be. I think it ends up being overrated, that Group 2 at Royal Ascot, because it's sort of deemed to be the Ascot Oaks, like the Edward VII Stakes of the Ascot Derby.
Yeah.
And because of where they fall on the calendar, they tend to be quite weak races.
Okay, let's just have a quick summary then, Rory, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Purple Bay would be my each way selection in the summer hurdle. Again, difficult to know before price is right, but I thought you'd get around the 14-1 mark on him, and he makes appeal each way there. In the summer plate, I am going for Creevy Tennant, who again looks to be roughly the same sort of price. I think he should be a fair bit shorter than he was priced up at 16-1 in a place during the week when there was an anti-post book on that. If he's double figure prices at all, I think he's a cracking each way bet there. And again, I think Volume will be hard to kick out the frame in the Irish Oaks.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Rory. Enjoy it on Saturday.
My pleasure.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. Really fairly busy day to look forward to, with Newbury, Market Raisin, Newmarket, Ripon and Cartmel in the afternoon. It's Haydock and Lingfield in the evening, and a twilight card from Ireland with the Irish Oaks, the feature in the Curragh. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.